This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Day of NFL news all across the country. It's the Barton Hahn Show. I am filling in with Joe Fortenbaugh. I'm Matt Jones here. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests like our next one will be on the Goodyear Hotline. Lots of stuff going on, but always remember that family is everything. And I personally have peace of mind knowing my family is taken care of with life insurance. I recommend SelectQuote. SelectQuote has been helping families for over 35 years. Plus, quotes are free. Go to SelectQuote.com. That is SelectQuote.com. We are very happy to be joined on the Goodyear Hotline by Chris Mortensen, ESPN NFL insider, who had a big day today breaking all kinds of news about Indianapolis. Carson Wentz, Quentin Nelson are both potentially able to play week one, and then extensions for the coach and the GM. I guess, Chris, I'll start with the Carson Wentz news. A little surprising. Do they really expect him to be on the field in the first game?
I do not consider it surprising, because I think they've been trying to send the message. When they said 5 to 12 weeks, that was even before the surgery, by the way. And the decision was, you know, was really, do we just go ahead and try to rehab through it, or do we have the surgery? And the Colts and their general manager, Chris Ballard, they wanted to be decisive. So they had Wentz and Quentin Nelson have almost the identical surgeries. And 5 weeks would put them at week one. And big news yesterday out of the Colts camp was that, you know, Jacob Eason, their fourth-round pick from a year ago, and Sam Ellinger, a free agent quarterback, formerly of Texas, I believe. Is that right?
Yes. Yep.
You know, we're now splitting reps with the first team, you know, as possibly be, so they can be the backup quarterback, and they might be playing week one. But I've been told from the start that the projection on Carson, if the surgery was going to be what they thought it was going to be, they really thought he had a chance for week one. And once the surgery happened, they even felt better about it. And then the first 2 weeks, and this is the second week, was complete rest. But when he showed up yesterday to the practice for the first time, he was not wearing any walking boot, any device. He was hardly limping. And I will say that this weekend, I happened to be in Canton, Ohio, I was told that this thing was trending in his favor for week one, as with the big fella, Quentin Nelson, their all-pro guard. But, you know, you still have to allow for any type of setback. But this was not a Liz Frank injury. This didn't involve a lot of issues once they got in there. As you know, when you have a surgery, sometimes they get in there and they see something else and it becomes a little bit more major and complicated. So they have some cushion. If he's not ready, they're not going to push him. That's another reason why they gave him a wide span and they didn't want to put pressure on him. But I was told that this was really about a pain management issue. And Carson, even if you talk to the Eagles, they'll tell you he has a high pain threshold. And yesterday, walking around the entire practice, as I said, with no boot and hardly any limp, that was a good sign and reaffirmed to me more than once that this, you know, they feel better about week one. I can't say expect them to start week one, but they feel like this is trending well.
Mort, Colts also got some business done off the field, handing out extensions to general manager Chris Ballard and head coach Frank Reich. It's got to say a lot about Reich, doesn't it, considering that this was the organization that hired Josh McDaniels and only went to Reich because he bailed on him at the last minute?
Yeah, it does. And I think that Frank Reich was always the overlooked guy when the Eagles won the Super Bowl that one year, when Wentz had an MVP-type year, then tore his ACL in December. And Foles picked up and they went on and beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. Frank Reich was the offensive coordinator, but he's not a self-promoter. And clearly Chris Ballard liked Josh McDaniels. He got burned by Josh McDaniels, but Josh had his reasons and Chris had an answer. The answer was Frank Reich. And what Jim Irsay, the owner, has discovered, that Frank Reich, and he's made two playoffs. And last year, by the way, the Buffalo Bills will tell you, that was a scary team they played in the Colts, even though Bills squeaked it out in Buffalo in the AFC playoffs. This is a team that I know that Jim Irsay feels that Frank Reich reminds him of Tony Dungy, a steady hand and somebody that he can communicate with as an owner. And Chris Ballard is more than high on Frank Reich as a head coach. And so the two are now married up through 2026. Of course, you know, those are always things subject to change. It just means they have contracts together that run through 2026, and Irsay truly believes that they will have make a run. And I will tell you this, that what they saw from Carson Wentz in the offseason, the minicamp, OTAs, first 5 days of training camp, they really believe they have a Super Bowl quarterback in Wentz. We think Wentz has a lengthy injury history. Now, last year, and I think I mentioned this to maybe a week or two ago, Wentz didn't get hurt last year. Everybody else got hurt with the Eagles, and he played crappy. I mean, there's no question about that. And then it was we all know what happens from there. But the year before, he was healthy except for what? The spear to the head in the playoffs by Jadeveon Clowney. And if you saw the hit, you know, you really couldn't blame him. So I think we're probably exaggerating Wentz's injury prone. I think really what you need to see him is that he play well. And the question now will be, will he be playing well from week one or week two? They think he's trending toward week one.
Talking to Chris Mortensen here on the Barton Hahn Show. Matt Jones, Joe Fortenbaugh filling in. Of course, Hard Knocks was last night, so we all kind of got to see a little behind the scenes with the Cowboys. And the focus on a lot of the show was Dak Prescott and his injury from the offseason and then the shoulder injury. Should Cowboy fans be worried about him week one, or do you think it's still sort of a minor thing?
I wouldn't put it in the worried category, and I'm not sure I'd put it in the minor category. I listen to Tim Hasselbeck, who's a quarterback, one of our analysts, who's kind of had this injury. It's kind of like it's a different type of shoulder injury, but it can be very nagging. And let's face it, when you don't throw for 2 weeks after that type of injury, and they want to be careful, and Dak did start tossing the ball around, you certainly want to be careful with it. Now, I know some quarterbacks, like Phil Simms, the Super Bowl MVP, the former New York Giants quarterback, he can remember having a shoulder injury, and he was very, he was one guy who never got a sore arm, by the way, never got shut down, Phil. Talking about Phil Simms, but he can remember 1989 when he messed up his ankle, and we know Dak coming off the dislocated ankle. He said you start compensating, and things happen like shoulder issues, shoulder soreness. So I would say it's just something that the Cowboys got to handle very carefully. As you've heard, they are even turning to the Texas Rangers to just make sure they're doing some things right with this type of injury, which is actually not an uncommon injury for a baseball pitcher, a little uncommon for a football quarterback.
Moving across the state of Texas, the Houston Texans still trying to figure out what they're going to do at the quarterback position. Deshaun Watson, still a member of the team, but won't play in the team's preseason game that's coming up here in a few days. Do you think Deshaun Watson has played his last meaningful snap for the Houston Texans?
I do. But, we have this great unknown of what's going to happen with the sexual assault allegations on both the civil level and the criminal level and the NFL investigative level. The NFL does not interfere with criminal type investigations. And, we don't know if that's going to wind up in October, September, November, or whether, as in the civil case, 2022. The issue for the Texans and their GM, Nick Caserio, is how do you make a trade? How do you get compensation for what you believe is a top five quarterback in the NFL when the other teams who are interested, and let's name a couple, like the Eagles, maybe the Dolphins, but Tua Tagovailoa is having a great camp. He really is. How do you do a trade without some conditions attached? And I don't know that Caserio has figured that part of it out. But I don't expect Deshaun to be back with the Texans unless he tells them, I'm good to go. I'm ready to play. But there's a lot of risk then with injury. And as I said, we still have an unknown with the off-the-field allegations that are being investigated.
Mort, last segment, we ranked the five off-season additions that were the biggest deal, and both Joe and I picked Matthew Stafford with the Rams. What are you hearing about how that's looking? And we sort of think he might even be dark horse MVP candidate in that offense. What do you see for him in L.A.?
I know what Matthew Stafford's playoff record is, but I can tell you, and I remember writing this one time for ESPN.com, maybe about 12 years ago, that if Matthew Stafford ever became available in the trade, there would be a line of GMs rushing to the front to get this guy. He's highly regarded. He has a skill set that's just top of the line. And, we marvel at Patrick Mahomes' sidearm throws. Matthew Stafford has been doing that for forever, and as Brett Favre did, and certainly as Aaron Rodgers has done. I don't know that he's a dark horse candidate. I would sit there and say, if I had to pick five guys who might be the MVP this year, I would throw him in there. He's that talented. He's also is a very good team guy. And we know what the Lions' failures compelled Barry Sanders to retire early and still in his prime, and did the same with Calvin Johnson. So I would say that Matthew Stafford, his record in Detroit shouldn't all be put on him, and I expect big things.
Mort, one of the teams Stafford and the Rams will have to go through if they want to make a deep run is the San Francisco 49ers to the north. Jimmy Garoppolo is number one on the depth chart as of now, but Trey Lance, according to reports, is wowing people with his arm and athleticism at Niners camp. How long do you think it is before Lance takes over the starting gig?
Yeah, I mean, Kyle Shanahan, their coach, has said, you know, Jimmy's having a great camp. He's a starter, but that Trey Lance is going to play. And that's changed, because before it was like Trey didn't have a great offseason, but when you consider his age, only 17 starts at North Dakota State, understandable that there was going to be a transition. But I know that Kyle Shanahan, when he moved up, when the 49ers moved up to the third pick in that big trade and gave up so much, they were going up for Mac. They knew that Mac Jones, they could win with him. But if Trey Lance checked off some boxes, then Kyle Shanahan could play a different style of football, and opponents, especially inside the NFC West, would have to defend them differently, because then it's 11-on-11 football. Not just because of Lance's ability to run, but he also has a very strong arm. I think that Jimmy Garoppolo is the one thing that Jimmy's got going for him. He is about as well-liked in the locker room as any quarterback in this league. But he has to perform. He has to stay healthy. And I think Trey Lance, as Kyle Shanahan has already said, is going to play. I believe eventually he will be starting. I think he should start week one, but they did not make me coach of the 49ers.
Well, maybe they should have with all of your knowledge. That was Chris Mortensen giving us a Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Mort, thank you very much for your time.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
I could listen to Mort talk all the time. There's just something about the way he has that sort of, I don't know, there's an aura about him I really enjoy. So I
gravitas.
That's gravitas. That's the word. See, you and your fancy thesaurus and dictionary. Now let's go around the league for a few other things that I found interesting, especially from the sound. Dan Campbell is the coach of the Detroit Lions. Not a lot of talk about the Detroit Lions in the off season, but I did enjoy when he was asked about the sort of status of the Lions in their roster. I'm glad to hear that there are no turds there, because I was hoping for there not to be. What do you think of Dan Campbell as a potential? Do you think there's going to be success there?
Feels like the bar isn't set very high if you're excited about no turds, but you got to start somewhere when you're the Lions. And if you're the Lions right now, that's what you got to be thinking. Rodgers is still in the division. The Vikings will be better. The Bears are arming up with Justin Fields. So take your time and try to figure it out. On one hand, every time Campbell speaks, he sounds like this old throwback former player who's going to come in and rah-rah the locker room. And I know people make their jokes, but sometimes that resonates. I'm not saying they're the same guy, but Mike Vrabel has a very powerful ability to rally his locker room, to get that team to perform above and beyond what they're capable of doing. He really does. I think Vrabel's gotten more out of the Titans than a lot of coaches have out of their teams. I think they've over-exceeded expectations in Tennessee. So I'm not going to dismiss Campbell just yet, but I am going to note the fact that I think that team is severely lacking in talent. And when you bring in Jared Goff, you're downgrading from Matthew Stafford. People are going to realize that Stafford covered up a lot of weaknesses in Detroit because he's more than a competent quarterback. But people didn't like him because he couldn't win enough. It wasn't his fault. It's the organization's fault. They have a history of losing. That's not Stafford's issue.
Yeah, I'll be more simplistic than that. The moment I saw Matt Patricia stand on the sideline and coach a team with his hat on backwards, I knew it wasn't going to work. Grown men should not have their hats on backwards when they're coaching a team. I challenge you to find one that's ever been successful as a coach. And so just when I saw Campbell with his hat on forwards, I said, that's a person who's a better leader than they had last year. Dale Earnhardt Jr. and King Griffey Jr. are the only people who, as grown men, could wear their hats backwards and look cool. Matt Patricia, that was when I knew his leadership should be in question. Now, a person whose leadership you never question was Steve Young. And he had an interesting statement, I thought, about Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson and their potential upside. All right, so I'm with him on Trevor Lawrence. I mean, I don't know that how you could – I'm not sure if you could have a better pedigree coming in the NFL than Trevor Lawrence. Probably the best pedigree since Andrew Luck, right? With that said, I'm not with him on Zach Wilson. Now, he knows more about quarterbacks than I ever will. I don't see transformational yet. I hope to be wrong. What do you think?
You think Young's got that BYU bias going on?
Well, that's
on right
what. Yeah, listen, I wasn't going to say that. That's you saying that. But there was a part of me that goes, "Well, you got a reason to like him." That's like me going, "You know who I think is going to be really good is John Wall." Like, there's a little bit of bias there. But go ahead.
I'm not going to argue anything on Trevor Lawrence. The proof's in the pudding. If the organization builds around him the right way, he's going to have every opportunity to go on and wow people in the pros the way he wowed people in college. With Wilson in the Jets, to me, it doesn't come down to Wilson. It comes down to the Jets. Did they learn their lesson from Sam Darnold? You give them a lousy coach in Adam Gase. You give them a lackluster arsenal, a questionable offensive line. You throw them out there. And when it doesn't work, you think to yourself, all right, we got to move on. That's on you. You created a bad environment, a bad culture, a bad system. And then when the kid didn't produce, you blamed him. So you move on to the next guy. Okay, what are you going to do? Are you going to learn from your mistakes in terms of failing to develop Darnold? You don't have to look very far to see how this is done. Look at the Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen was a major project coming out of Wyoming. There was no one that said, Allen is polished and ready to go. He was inaccurate. He had a huge arm. He played at a small school. So there were a ton of question marks. But he had the same head coach in Sean McDermott and the same coordinator in Brian Daboll for the 3 years he was there. He had continuity. And they went out and they got him Stephon Diggs. They put weapons around him. They did exactly what you do with a young quarterback. You coach him up, you keep it consistent, and you give him players who can make him better. And guess what? Allen performed at a near MVP level last year. That's what the Jets need to be thinking. They need to build around Wilson. They need to give him an opportunity, and they need to keep it consistent with the coaching staff. Otherwise, it's going to be Sam Darnold part two.
But one distinct difference, though, and I is the difference between, and you heard Mike Tannenbaum say this earlier, being in Buffalo, New York, and being in New York City. It's a completely different thing because Josh Allen struggled. I mean, in that first year, there were a lot of questions about whether or not he was good. And I think if you had that spotlight on Josh Allen, I'm not saying he wouldn't have had the same success, but it might have been harder. I mean, the amount, I think for players nowadays, the criticism they take is much more difficult because they can't get away from it. You know, 20 years ago, okay, the back pages may crush you, but just stay away from the newspaper, right? Now it's everywhere. It's on social media. These young guys, they all live their lives on social media. Zach Wilson does. Part of the issues he's had in the offseason have been because of social media. I think it's much harder now than it used to be when that intense spotlight of New York City, Joe, is on you.
100%. I 100% agree. You're right. You can get away from the newspaper, but your phone, the fans, the people coming at you, the vitriol, it's going to be around you 24/7 as long as you're checking that phone. But that's on the Jets. When the Jets sit down and they meet with them, when the Jets work them out, when the Jets interview his coaches and family members and former teammates, you got to make the determination on whether or not that kid can handle that pressure, whether or not that kid has a chance to make it in New York City. And if you thought Trevor Lawrence could do those things, then you shouldn't have called the blitz against the Raiders like the morons that you were in that game that gave away the first overall pick. Trevor Lawrence was sitting there. As an organization, it was going to be very easy to acquire him. You gave him away, so you better have made the right move with Wilson.
I love those stories about one game that was meaningless that changes the fortunes of a franchise. It happens a lot more than folks realize. We are brought to you by Goodyear. We're helping you discover the road ahead here on the Barton Hahn Show. Goodyear is more driven. You know, there's a lot of happiness. There's a lot of excitement. But Mark Cuban and Pete Alonso, they have optimism, happiness, and excitement about the future. But I'm not sure if they should. That's next here on the Barton Hahn Show.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
It is the Bart and Hahn Show. Matt Jones, Joe Fortenbaugh, filling in, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests are on the Goodyear Hotline. We are about to give you some overconfidence from some folks in the world of sports. But first, it's the summer of Dash Pass, and members are getting $10 off groceries, alcohol, and pet food because it's the summer. So try Dash Pass for free and get year-round savings, exclusive menu items, and zero delivery fees now in the DoorDash app. Terms and conditions apply. It is that time again. It is time for audio files. That's right. It is the audio file. We play you clips of some of the things people are saying and let you know what we think about it. Let's get started. Mark Cuban extended Luka Doncic. Cuban, I think, Joe, should be very excited about extending Luka. He's special and is top five player in the NBA eventually, if not already now. But I don't know if they did everything to win. I actually think they maybe had the worst offseason of all teams. Everybody they kind of wanted, Kyle Lowry, et cetera, didn't happen for them. I don't think they got better.
They drafted a great generational player, or I should say they traded on draft day for a great generational player, in Luka Doncic. And now you got to build around him. And if you do that properly, you're going to have a contender for the foreseeable future. But here's one of the things I can't shake. Rick Carlisle's no longer the head coach in Dallas. Carlisle had been there forever. I think he was the longest tenured head coach in the NBA through thick and thin, and he won that title with Dirk back in the day. Now, I'm not saying things didn't get stale, but I think there's more than meets the eye as to the shakeup that took place with that organization in the offseason. And Luka's signed, and everyone's happy, but Jason Kidd's taken over, and they have a lot of work to do if they want to become a true contender in the West. They're a playoff team, but I don't know if they're a true contender just yet.
It has felt like to me that Luka is a great player, but maybe he's a little difficult, maybe just a little bit in terms of getting along and et cetera. But all that's fine. He's so good it won't matter, but you got to get the players. And in the NBA now, you may need three great players, and they don't even have two. And I think that is a problem for them. I do not think they got better. Now, somebody who did get better with the Lakers, maybe, although I'm not 100% sure of that either. But Russell Westbrook says, yeah, people are worried about how we're all going to share the ball, but they shouldn't be. There are many different ways you can impact a game without having the ball in your hands. I'm not sure Russell Westbrook does any of them. He's a terrible defender. He's an okay rebounder, but I don't know. I mean, again, I hope it works out. Joe, I am very skeptical of in crunch time in the playoffs, how those three guys work together.
The upside here for Westbrook is that he has the chance to be this season's Chris Paul. And what I mean by that is you can rewrite the narrative. Paul was always known, whether it was fair or not, and I think for a lot of it was unfair, but he was always known as a guy who couldn't get it done in the postseason. And then all of a sudden he comes in as the veteran guru on this young Phoenix team, and he helps guide them to the NBA Finals in a 2-0 lead over Milwaukee. Now, they didn't close, but I think a lot of people look at CP3 differently now. That's Westbrook. Westbrook, and again, not saying it's right, but a lot of people look at Westbrook as a selfish player, as a me-first guy who can't fit in this generation style of play. By going to LA, he can prove to everyone that that's not the case. You can go out there, you can change your game a little bit, you can contribute to a team that wins a title, and then we'll be thinking about Russell Westbrook in a completely different way moving forward.
Maybe. The difference with Chris Paul is he was a veteran leader on a team of young guys. This is a guy who's a veteran, but he's not a leader, and he's not going to a team full of young guys. He's going to a team full of old guys who really don't care what he has to say. I mean, you think LeBron's going to listen to Russell Westbrook? Russell Westbrook is going to have to be option number three, and I just don't know if that's a dude who's built. He wasn't built to be option number two in Houston. I don't know if he's built to be option number three in L.A. We'll see. Maybe it happens, but I'm skeptical. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Back to the audio, Greg Sankey's the commissioner of the SEC, and a lot of people have had a lot to say about adding Oklahoma and Texas, but he thinks it's all going to work out just fine. I'm an SEC guy, okay, so I'm biased. With that said, and I like Greg Sankey, but he's being a little bit disingenuous. Although he tries to blame the big Pac-12, Big 12, ACC. All of those moves, Joe, occurred as responses to an SEC move. The first time they added Arkansas and South Carolina, that started the first level of expansion. Then they add A&M and Missouri, and that starts the second level of expansion. Now they add Oklahoma and Texas, and now we're in the third level. He's trying to act like everybody else's responses that were sort of responses to their work are the same. This always starts with the SEC.
Yeah, it's not me, it's you guys. No, it's you, and then it's us. You are still a part of this equation, whether you want to admit it or not. This is going to wreak havoc on the playoff system one way or another, because can you imagine some of the arguments we're going to have once Oklahoma and Texas get there? Well, Notre Dame's undefeated, but Oklahoma's a 10-1 team, and their only loss was a regular season game at Tuscaloosa. We should be letting them in as the four team. Like, the schedules and the competition are going to be so stacked in the SEC, you're going to have people that would rather see a two-loss Georgia, if those losses are at Norman and at Tuscaloosa, rather than an undefeated Notre Dame if they don't go on to play anybody. You're going to have to stack your schedules, because the third and fourth best teams in the SEC are going to have incredible resumes. So playoff expansion has got to be on the horizon, or we're going to be in for some very tasty fights in the near future.
Yeah, I think this is why the talk of 12 occurred right before the talk of this, because it's going to happen. I mean, it's a smart thing to happen. It's going to make it to where you're not punished for these mega leagues. And I'm still of the belief that in 8 years we'll have four major leagues. I think that's what's going to happen. I think the Big 12 is just going to split into the Big 10 and Pac-12, and that's what you're going to have. And it is what it is. There'll probably be four 16-team leagues, and if you're not in that, you'll get one team in the playoff, and then the other 11 will come from the four 16-team leagues. I think that's just the way this is going to be. Now, the way it's been for the Mets is losing, but Pete Alonso is still trying to stay positive despite the sinking ship. I'd like to see the one team where somebody goes, we're just not a special group. Like, of all the groups out there, we're just not close to being special. They have nothing to worry about. I think they have a lot to worry about, Joe.
They got a ton of things to worry about. They've lost 9 of 11. They've got the hardest schedule in the National League East the rest of the way out, and both the Phillies and the Braves are surging. It's not as if it's just one team. It's two. Both those teams have very reasonable schedules between now and the end of the season. But round of applause for Pete Alonso, because somebody needed to step up and say something in that godforsaken organization. I know Steve Cohen going down into the clubhouse the other day and saying, hey, I just saw our guys, everything's fine, right before they went out and got swept by the Phillies that Sunday, putting up 0 runs in the process. Probably got some people inspired, but someone on this team has to step up and be a leader. The
Mets, I think it's more Baghdad Pete Alonso than it is inspiring, at least to me.
So, I mean, someone had to say something. Someone has to step up. It's unbelievable with the Mets when things like this go wrong. There's no one anywhere ever. Like, you just spent all that money on Lindor and you never hear from him. Nothing ever at any point. You don't get paid that type of money to just be quiet. You don't get paid that type of money to go into a funk like everybody else. You've got to rise above. And thank God someone in this organization was willing to stand up and say something positive as the season completely slips away in less than 2 weeks' time.
I don't know. I don't like positivity when there's nothing to be positive about. I like people who are honest. We stink right now, and the Braves and the Phillies are surging, and we're in trouble. But it's the way it goes. Barton Hahn is brought to you by My Computer Career. We are training you for a better life. You know, they always say you should bet on yourself. You should make the decisions and say to yourself, I'm going to make it work. Well, sometimes that positive attitude, which Joe likes so much and I think can lead you in a bad direction, sometimes it can really screw you over. And that happened to one player. We'll tell you about it next here on Barton Hahn.
Bart and Hahn.
You know, this is the Barton Hahn Show, giving you some flavor in your ear. Matt Jones and Joe Fortenbaugh are here. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all callers are on the Goodyear Hotline. I'm a big believer in being positive, in sort of having self-confidence. A lot of this world is just projecting that you know what you're doing, even if you don't. You can get really far knowing very little if you act like you do. But sometimes confidence can hurt you. Sometimes you have to understand your leverage and not assume that everything's always going to work out. An example may be Dennis Schroeder. You as a basketball player playing Schroeder, excuse me, you playing as a basketball player for the Lakers, you probably think, hey, I'm in L.A., everything's going great, playing with LeBron and Anthony Davis. They offer you in February a four-year, $84 million deal. And if you're Schroeder, you probably think, you know what? Life is great. But life could be even better. I'm going to have a huge playoffs. We're going to go. We're going to win a title. And all of a sudden, I'm going to be worth more money. So you say no to the deal. But then things change. People get hurt. All of a sudden, you're an eight seed. Things don't look exactly the same. And Joe Fortenbaugh, you end up not getting the $84 million offer. You end up with no offer. And you sign a one-year, $5.9 million deal with the Boston Celtics. That is, for those of you scoring at home, $78 million less than you could have signed for just a few months before. How bad would that hurt you, Joe, if it happened to you?
Wouldn't happen to me. Wouldn't allow something like that to happen because I operate with a few key rules in life, one of which is called the deathbed test. The deathbed test is very simple. If I'm lying on my deathbed and I'm asked to assess a decision I made in my life, how much am I going to regret it? For example, Schroeder turned down 80-plus million because he wanted $120 million. If you told me, yep, you can go ahead and you can go ahead and ask for that 120, but if you miss, what's the downside? Could it be so bad that I'm only able to get a one-year deal? Could I get into a car accident and not be able to play? Will I get injured? If someone is willing to hand you $80-plus million, and remember something, Matthew Jones, this is the NBA, it's fully guaranteed. You take that money. On his deathbed, he's looking back. He's regretting that decision. That's a failure of the deathbed test. That would never have happened to Joe Fortenbaugh.
Yeah, the failure of the deathbed test can, you know, it can cost you money, but $84 million is still a lot. Like, you can take $84 million, and if you use it correctly, never have to work again. Another person that went through this similar thing was Nerlens Noel.
You can use it incorrectly and never have to work again.
That's
$84
true.
$84 million.
Nerlens Noel had a similar situation. He turned down, I think, a $75 million deal and ended up playing for one-year deals for 3 years. Now, he just signed with the Knicks, and he got like $20 million, so he got some of it back. But he'll never get the money that he turned down, I believe, with Dallas. And I just think you have to realize, if you're Dennis Schroeder, look, you're a good player, but there's a lot of you out there. You know what I mean? Like, you are not so special that you can't be replicated. There are not a lot of some guys, but there's a lot of guys that do what he does, and I think that was a misunderstanding. And he also didn't understand that at the end of the year, one trade and the Lakers would not be paying him what he made. He assumed $84 million was the floor. But the thing about the NBA is, the moment you're replaced, like he was with Westbrook, your floor bottoms out, and he just didn't realize it.
Yeah, and it's not just the $84 million fully guaranteed. It means you're going to be in Los Angeles. You're going to be rich in L.A. L.A. can be lousy, but if you're rich, it's rarely lousy. Doors open, velvet ropes part. That's a situation where you're going to contend for titles, play on a great team, be on national TV, make lots of money, and see lots of sunshine. Would you rather that, or would you rather take the risk of ending up in Minnesota? Pass.
Or you can end up in Boston just standing there and watching Tatum and Brown shoot, which is going to be what ends up happening. It's a huge mistake. But, you know, it feels like these stories happen a lot in the NBA, because unlike football and even baseball, where contracts are more consistent over time, the NBA is feast or famine. You can be a guy who in 1 year, like Luol Deng, sound for $100 million, and the next year you've been worth $10 million. That happens a lot in the NBA. By the way, if you miss any portion of the show, you can find both hours of Bart and Hahn posted daily as a podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Joe Fortenbaugh, a lot of fun being with you. We very much appreciate it. Max Kellerman is next. This has been the Bart and Hahn Show on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio, or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.